Hi, this is Melissa Wood Tepperberg, and this is the Move with Heart podcast.
Are you ready?
Just breathe it all in.
I want to talk. I can't lie.
I was like, it's going to be short, sweet, and very spicy.
And we're going to get right into it because apparently some of you think I talk too much.
I mean, we're twinning hard.
We're twinning so hard.
And our Get Ready With Me envy, or my envy with you.
It's kind of nice that it changed because, I mean, we've gone in phases. You actually told me as an adult that you stole my clothes when we were kids.
Yes, I did. I didn't know. Like a borrow and not returned. I don't know if it was like, I'm going to steal this.
I don't think I ever realized they were missing.
Exactly, because you had so much clothes growing up and I didn't. And I was jealous of you.
And now it's turned because every time I'm at your house, I'm like, I'm going in the closet. And you're like, you feel bad. You're like, you can have it. So I leave with, I actually bring an extra suitcase now.
I don't feel bad. I just love giving stuff
away. I know,
away.
You're a giver.
I love You've giving stuff been a giver. To people. I literally, like, you know, I make boxes for my
everyone
sisters. And I'm like, yeah, always giving stuff I know. Away.
I think giving actually feels better than getting.
Way.
Like 100%. I love gift giving. You know that.
I'm
like,
you're the best gift giver.
I listen. Like, I think people just don't listen. So if you're like, listen to people talk, you're like, oh, they need that. And I make a note of it. And then I end up buying, like, you know, I sent you a Yankees hat. And then you're like, by the way, I bought it for myself.
No, but you're super thoughtful with your gifts.
I try to be.
You've always been that way.
Yeah, it's fun for me. You have to listen to people.
That's true.
And then make notes.
I love that tip. That's such a good one. Okay. There is truly, I was like thinking about this because I'm like, oh, family. I don't think anyone in my life like really knows me like you do through all of the phases and the stages of life. Of course, like siblings, but I think 100% when it comes to friends,
like yes.
We've known each other since the fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been best friends ever since. So yes. How many years, Chris?
I mean, math is not my strong subject, but I don't know, a long time.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost 30 years.
Yeah. I think that you are really close to your sisters or Laura, very close to Laura.
Yeah.
But I think she was too young then.
Right.
She just was a lot younger than us at the time. Or felt like it.
Yeah. And I think you tell your friends, obviously.
Things that you don't tell your
siblings. That you want sibling. To
tell your siblings. At least as a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's bring it back, girl, because people are dying for the juice.
Okay.
Let's take me
back. I don't kiss
back.
And tell. So we actually met in fourth grade. I was new girl at school. And I was like a little intimidated. And I got on the bus first. And I had seen you walking around the neighborhood in your sports bra. Which actually blows my mind because now you're always in a sports bra. And
I was in biker shorts.
I was
too.
Like checking you out the window. And I was like, who does she think she is? Like, you were just so confident in your sports bra walking around. And then we get on the bus the first day and you walk on the bus wearing like a Britney Spears plaid skirt. It was during that moment. I think it was that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, it was literally everything.
Knee highs.
I mean, you were young to be wearing that. But I was like, oh my God, who is she? And I was wearing like an oversized grungy t-shirt with two different Converse. And I was just like, can you sign my shoe? Like the weirdest thing, but that's like when we actually started becoming friends. And then we lived literally like 1 minute from each other. So we spent every day together from that moment forward, mm-hmm. every day.
I think that was when I put a Q&A box up, just asking like what questions people wanted. And I think a lot of people were like, how did it start?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it was convenience. We were so close, like we could walk to each other's houses. But then also like my family, you had 5 siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So your house was more chaotic and your mom was your mom was a single mom. And my mom like took you in, whatever you needed, and my dad. And you literally became like my sister.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they treated me sometimes like you were the actual child and I wasn't.
It's
so
true.
Our house had a lot of food and
All the best snack.
My mom grew up really poor, so she overdid the food thing, I think making up for what she couldn't have. Mm-hmm. So we had the best snacks and it showed. That is my new cut. So you were always over. You did like family vacations with me because it was just my brother and I. So it was a lot easier to bring you along rather than you had four siblings. That's a lot to bring another kid. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of where it started.
I mean, to really break it down, I think a lot of the reason why I gravitated towards you and your mom and like being at your house is because there was this level of, well, like, first of all, it was like family. Mm-hmm. Like you guys always did things as a family. Yeah. You had dinners together. And
yeah, every night my mom cooked.
And also just this like foundation of feeling safe and secure.
Yeah. And actually, I think that's one of the reasons that I think Noah has been so great for you is he's like a very reliable, stable person. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the first thing I realized about him. And I was like, oh my God, he's like the one for her because he was stable and he's reliable. Like he's even reliable for me.
Yeah.
He shows up for everyone.
He does.
So.
But, you know, I think this is probably something I don't talk a ton about. And I felt like if there's anyone to really go there with, it's you because like you saw it.
I saw
truly how I was raised and how I was brought up. And I think there was just, you know, my mom worked three jobs, I believed. And my dad had moved out at this point, was working a lot too. And there just like wasn't a lot of parental guidance or support.
And I think we judge that for years until you become a parent, right? Mm-hmm. Now we're like, you know, I have one, you have two. It's so much work.
Oh my God.
That it's like, okay, now we get it. You were doing it all, literally.
Yeah. I mean, our parents were doing the best that they could. But I think what it did is it like, I like lived at your house.
Lived. I mean, we had a sleepover every night.
Like I stayed at your house during school nights.
Every night. My mom drove us to school every morning.
Every morning. And we would stop at Burger King for
and
breakfast.
McDonald's.
Live. But you would never stay at my house.
I did like once every few weeks just because your mom's like, you can't stay the night anymore. So we were like, oh man, like we're going to have to go to your house now. And I'd wake up with like a ferret in my hair.
You can share why you hated staying. It's
I just
okay.
called it like a zoo because it literally was. It's not like it was like chaotic. There were animals everywhere.
There were animals
Cats.
Everywhere. But it was a little chaotic.
Yeah. And you had like, yeah.
You can say it. It's okay.
It's just, you know, I was used to like more like name brand cereal or like hair care products.
Everything was generic.
Everything was, and it's not like judging at all, but you know, it was just different. It was like chaotic. There was a lot of animals, kids, and
And like we were taking care of each other.
Yeah. And your mom was just working a lot. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget you and your sisters fighting in the car.
Oh, yeah.
And your mom would just drive the car like nothing was happening. It was like she had her little hands. I will never forget it. Like I can see her hands on the wheel. Just
and her thumbs.
And her thumbs. And then it was like I was in the middle just like this is happening.
And Becky and I were
going at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As per usual.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. Well, we don't really
fight
like that. We're just like not afraid to say what we feel. To each other,
which is actually why our friendships lasted this long. We say everything.
Everything. You should have just seen the text I sent her in the Uber.
Everything. Like, because we are so comfortable doing that, we don't yes each other. We keep it so real because you need that person in your life that's going to just like, when you call them, they're like, no, no, sis, this is not it. You know?
Yes, I know you do that for me often. And I do it for you too.
You do. I mean, you're like the person I call when I want the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, I think so many people are afraid to say the things to their friends. And it's like, that's not authentic. I know like we've been talking a lot about like quality over quantity.
Yes.
And it's so important to eat with friendships, with fashion, with everything. Mm-hmm. I have and you have, you know, a small circle. But they are tried and true.
I mean, I feel like I have a lot of friends.
They're acquaintances.
Here she goes. I have a lot of friends, but I think what you learn over the years, especially after having kids, like you have different friends for different reasons.
Absolutely.
Like, not everyone. And I think this is where a lot of people put unnecessary pressure.
Horrible.
On a lot of their relationships.
Yes. Friendships shouldn't be hard.
I don't think they should.
They should not be. And you have friends for different things.
Yes.
You are like a ride or die. So I don't put you in a category. But I have friends that I like call like, hey, I want to go on a trip. Okay, book the flight. You have friends that will go with you for medical stuff. You just have a friend for all different things. And I think we put pressure and you have to just realize like that's maybe not the person for that.
Right.
And the sooner you realize, then like you become closer to those people.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing that I've realized and evolved from with a lot of my relationships is like not expecting something from someone who's,
yeah,
they're not going to be that person for you. So like, no. I think a lot of people just expect everything from everyone and then are like constantly disappointed or stop being friends with someone because... Yeah.
Which I mean is you get to a point where some relationships just like aren't worth the drama or the, it's toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Like just because you've been friends a long time doesn't mean you have to stay friends.
Oh, 100%.
Time doesn't mean you're a great friend.
No. Or so, that you're meant to continue being friends.
Yeah. So if you cut me off, I will come for you. I'll find you.
Well, okay. So let's bring it back because growing up together, there were definitely moments where I think too, when you have a friendship where like mm-hmm. there's one friendship that there's just like more stability in the home and then there's another friendship with instability. Like I'm sure you remember this day, but do you remember when we were on the bus
mm-hmm.
and I believe we were in fifth grade
mm-hmm.
and I was like, we're moving. I'm moving tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you were like, what? And yeah. I'm like, yeah, I know. We're going to move. It was like the middle of the school year. And I just remember literally being like, it was like my world got like picked up and uh-huh. shifted. My sisters and I moved with one of my mom's friends for a year. And I just remember coming back and just feeling this almost like being back home, like
mm-hmm.
being with you guys.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you really remember that.
I don't remember this. I don't remember you leaving. I do remember you telling me, but I don't remember now you leaving.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe I like blacked it out because I was probably lost. I was probably like trying to find like new friends.
I mean, I went to school at a different school for a whole year.
How do I not remember this? And I remember a lot.
I don't know. But I think it's like growing up with someone, like you do everything together and then to like truly blossoming into a adult after mm-hmm. school.
Yeah.
Because after high school, I went to community college. Mm-hmm. You didn't go to Syracuse University
away.
I went to the campus.
Well, yeah. And then I also moved to Florida for a year.
Right.
Then moved back. And that's when I enrolled at Syracuse. But you were already in New York at that time.
Right.
So we did go through phases where we were not in the same place. And I told you, like, I think it was your bachelorette weekend. It was really hard for me. When you moved to New York, I saw like all of these new friendships and I was so jealous and insecure. And then I hated it at first. But then I realized later on, I was grateful for those people because they mm-hmm. loved you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I had that. But I think when you're with someone every single day and then all of a sudden they're like in a new life, it makes you like jealous. I don't know. Not now. I was young.
Right.
But I was so like, oh, she has new friends. And I thought you were going to like forget about me. But then I was like, these girls are great. They're amazing. And I saw like how much they loved you. And I was happy you had someone, a lot of people.
I mean, we had, this was definitely a question too. A lot of people ask is like how we've maintained our friendship mm-hmm. over all of these years. And like if there were ever any like rough patches or
yes.
There were periods where like we completely disconnected.
Yeah, I think when you moved to New York, I was dating someone who was toxic and he did not like our friendship. And so he tried to break it up.
And would say that I was trying to hit on him.
Yeah, he like called me. Oh, I saw her like at Marquee and she hit on me. And like, I didn't believe it, but this was an eating disorder era. This was my biggest insecurity. Like, I will never forget visiting you in the Hamptons. You were working at Dune. And we went to Polo. I drank all day, went home, ate dinner, went for a run, drank more. And I was drinking. I was younger. I was eating very little calories. I was working out. I was running 11 miles a day. And I was in a bad place. And he brought a lot of that out. Like I told you, like, he walked in on me masturbating once and he literally said, oh my God, you have cellulite. Like that will put anyone in a spiral. Mm-hmm. And I was just in a dark place. And because of that, I was insecure. And it wasn't even just you I was insecure about. I was insecure about the girl making my coffee, everyone. It was a bad time for me. And I think if I would have stayed with him, we would not be friends right now.
Oh, we absolutely would not.
Which is terrible. But he was toxic. I mean, I had to go to therapy for 2 years to get past that relationship. So,
I mean, I remember it so vividly when I was working at the Chanel counter in Bloomingdale's and you guys like came in mm-hmm. and I just remember being like, who are you? Like
yeah,
you were
energy.
So different.
So different. He like controlled what I wore. So I didn't, for years, I couldn't shop for myself. Like I was like, I don't even know what to wear. I don't know what to eat. It was the first time in my life I went to therapy and I was at Syracuse and I went to the therapist there and I was like, grown men don't change. That's like what she kind of said to me, unless they want to. And that was like it. And then I literally moved to Florida to get away from him.
And then we came back together.
100%. Like that was it. That was probably the most time I think we were disconnected.
100%. Yeah.
Right? Like that was it.
Well, because he was like brainwashing you to think
for everything in my life.
And like that I was against you and jealous of you and wanted him. It was just like this really twisted situation. Which brings me to, you know, I think there are two types of people where like some, like the one person, like almost molds to their partner mm-hmm. when you start dating someone new. Like we all know those people and those friends who it's like they are with you all of the time, calling you, making plans. And then the second they have a boyfriend, they leave you in the dust. They drop you like it's hot.
And then they come back around like, please hang out with me. I'm single now. I need a friend.
Right. And then there's the friend who always kind of maintains this sense of independence. And I feel like growing up, you had a tendency to
be the first girl.
To mold.
Oh,
to
absolutely.
It's like, I remember you dated a skater guy.
I became skater. And then it was like band practice.
And then there was more goth. And then it was like.
My outfits changed.
Preppy. And then.
It was like a hip hop era.
I just remember kind of always through line, just like.
Yep.
Pretty much kind of always.
You were the same.
Similar.
You were the same, like always. You never changed with who you were dating. I didn't get that vibe.
You don't think so?
No, you've always been really strong and independent.
I mean, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't really go through phases. You're still wearing a sports bra.
But then growing and seeing, like, I think for me, like, seeing you evolve away from, like, even when it comes to career stuff, where, like, you also would, like, drop things to work for your partner's businesses. And I was always kind of like, no.
And you never did that. But it took, like, I mean, I'm happy to talk about my trauma, but... You know, I was in a 6-year relationship. I left my career for him. I came home from a girls' trip from Nashville to literally him moved out and he left a letter for me. And I had given up so much for him. Like, I thought this was it for me.
I never did.
You didn't. And I was so traumatized by that. Like, you come home and your stuff's like, his stuff's out. There's a letter for you, a 3-page letter of like, I don't think I want to marry you anymore after 6 years. It's like, well, didn't you know that a while ago?
He did.
And he used me and he wasted my time.
But you knew too.
And I knew because I saw positives and that's been like a little bit of an issue. I saw positives in the first person. And that actually is like what I think changed me. I realized in that moment because I was broken. And
you were working for him too.
Yes, but actually I was. But then about 6 months before that happened, I had launched my business. Mm-hmm. And that's what's crazy is I didn't see it coming. And it was great because I had already launched and I was already working on myself. but it's a huge lesson. Like, never give up yourself. And you've always maintained that. And, you know, I was like, okay, I need to do this. And you and Noah were great during that time. I mean, I was coming here every month, spending time with you. And there's a song, like, I needed to lose you to love me. That hits hard because he also never made me feel loved. And I was like insecure and like, I didn't really feel like, why doesn't he want to marry me? Like a lot of girls go through that. Like, why is he not asking me after 6 years? But it's not about you. It's about them. That's their issue. And that took a lot to learn. But now I know like he wasn't my person and you knew.
Oh, I knew.
But I know now, you know, more than ever.
Right.
So
I remember you calling me and you were hysterical and I just like listened.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what am I going to say? You know, like I told you. So I listened and then I said, you know, I feel as if he has been telling you this for years. And as hard as it was, and it was very traumatic, especially the way it all went down, but it was like such a blessing.
Yeah. Now my focus is like my daughter, my career. And, you know, she was always my focus, but like more than ever, I was like, this is about me. You have to love yourself first. We talk about this all the time. It starts inward, inside. You are not able to love someone else unless you love yourself.
And I feel like so many people look to their partner to make them happy.
Yeah, you can't.
Like no one's bringing you, like people can spark joy.
They can add addition. They can add that. But you know, you have to love yourself. Happiness starts with you.
There's one person.
And if you're not happy, you can't show up for everyone else.
I mean, you know, I live by this.
Yeah. You've done all the work.
Okay. I feel like you really need to like break it down, Chris, and just be 100 on. Because people just, you know, I've had people say like, oh, you're just so calm. And like,
no, you've done the work.
No, but like you also know, like I think perfect example. Last night, I lost my shit.
Yeah.
I was like, you saw probably 3 variations of me in the span of an hour.
Yeah.
Just, you know, been alone with the kids, doing everything from pickups, drop-offs, lunch.
Food, everything.
To dinner, to bed, to bath.
Yeah.
Which I told you, I was like, I love so many elements, but it's like when you don't have space to...
Well, also you're a working mom. I mean, that in itself, and you're like one of the hardest workers I've ever met. You give it all. So, I mean, that's for anyone is a lot.
I lost it.
Yeah.
I lost it last night. And I feel
But I mean, they were being a little naughty.
Thanks.
She's like, do you want more? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. I love my daughter, but she's now 13. So I'm in the teenage years.
Oof.
To all the moms in the teenage years, I feel you. They are hormonal. She's my best friend 1 minute and the next minute I'm cringy. So I'm like, I'm pretty cool. Pretty cool mom. So... Yeah.
I hope they know that one.
Good luck. Call me then when you go through the teenage years.
Oh, I will. You know I will. But can you just really share like maybe the me that, because I think people
you're very
think
misunderstood.
They know you.
They do because social media makes you think you know people.
Right.
But you're very misunderstood, even from your beginnings. I mean, you've been very honest about where you came from, which I love about you. Most people in your position would try to be someone they're not. I really respect that. And you actually are very transparent with where you started. And we worked our first job on a farm at 14. Our parents actually had to sign. They're like, why do you want to work on a farm? We're like, we wanted actually free vegetables and fruit. So we got to take home free fruit and veggies. Do you remember
that? I feel
like
I worked on the farm and all you did was sit and eat the strawberries.
Yeah,
and I would literally be like, girlfriend, let's go.
I love the strawberries.
Well, because we had to finish a row.
Before
we had lunch.
Yeah.
And it was like, you were just like.
I was like eating and dragging. You always, actually, you covered my ass in all of life until we were adults. I mean, we got bullied pretty bad. And you always, like, I wasn't afraid because I knew that you would actually fight them back for me. And I'd never been in a fight, still haven't. And you always had my back. So, yeah, we worked on this farm. You did the picking. I did the eating. And then you've always worked. You bought your first car. you hustled when you moved to New York. You always had like three jobs. And I think it's easy to look at your life and be like, oh, her husband's successful. But no, you could be sitting home doing nothing with a nanny and help and just not working, but you actually work harder than anyone I know. So I'm here to put the rumors straight. You are a hard worker and you've always done that. You always have like been like, save money, and you've been really great with that. And clearly this Uber situation is an example because, you know, and you even ride the subway.
I love the subway.
You're very humble. It's never left you.
Thank you.
Very humble.
I think when things started to really change for me, I made this commitment to myself that I never wanted to lose sight of who I was, of where I came from.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's really easy to see what someone has.
The glamorous.
Yeah, maybe it's success or you're just like the it girl of the moment, but like what's here today can be gone tomorrow.
100%.
And to never lose sight of who you are at your core, like your success or what you have does not define you.
It can literally be gone in a minute.
It can all change. So to never forget who you are at your core. And I think it was actually our nanny who was like, if you could pick in your life, like who's your ultimate person? And I'm like, listen, I have amazing friends, but there's just something about like feeling like I'm at home when I'm with you.
Yeah, we're very safe.
There's also not a lot of people that I want even in my home. Like I'm very, I can appear very public, but I'm actually rather—
You're very private.
Private. And I'm not the most trusting person. Yeah. And I feel like that when I'm with you, it's like slept over last night, we got ready together. I can tell you when you annoy me.
Yeah. Or I know, I actually know you now like well enough that I know like, okay, now I'm going to go to my room.
I wish you knew it in the Uber when you wouldn't stop talking, trying to ground on the way
here. I mean, I talk to everyone.
Here.
I think it's like a positive, but I mean, I will literally talk to anyone. Like
No, it's great. And I will too, but there's a time and place.
I will talk to anyone who will talk to me. But yeah, I love staying with you when I'm here because I do feel like it brings us back to like our getting ready together every day. And it's just more fun.
It's so fun. But it's also just, you know, I feel like it's not every single person you're going to do that with.
Yeah. I also like jump in and like take Eleanor, read her a book. Like I try to help you too, especially last night. I was like, I'll take one kid, you take one kid.
I think you were scared. You definitely knew I was. Yeah. I was done. But I think that's kind of where I was going with. To share maybe a side of me that people don't see that you've seen so many times over, that it's not all like meditative and peaceful.
No, you have like a side of you that's like a little scary. I'm not scared of it anymore because I'm so used to it. But I think that you've really like when you say I do the work, like you actually mean it. You have done the work and you've built your entire business around it, like helping others and showing them how to show up for themselves and how to change that. Like how you grew up or what your history is, it's not your future. So I think you've done a really great job about showing you are doing the work. And there's days that you need to do more. But
there's days you do too.
And I definitely do.
We've been working on that.
Yeah. I mean, I have anxiety that I don't take care of and ADD that I don't take care of. I'm getting better.
You are getting better because you've also hit a point where you want to change.
Yeah. It gets worse before it gets better, I think. So I tell myself, maybe not.
I mean, I think it just gets to a point where you no longer want to tolerate that.
Yeah.
Way
of debilitating
being, which doesn't mean, like, I don't know that people choose anxiety.
No,
you know, but I think there's coping mechanisms.
Absolutely.
There's so many things. There's
that help.
Medication. There's, you know, but I think it's asking yourself what could really help you or a doctor or a therapist.
Totally. I don't do therapy.
I was telling her this. We were actually talking about this last night that I think as your friend, it could be really helpful because I think people also mistaken their friends as their therapists and they're not.
No. I mean, I think, you can talk to some friends, but some friends have a hidden agenda.
Like,
some friends
tell
like,
me more.
Well, there's like the hater friends, the frenemies. We all have them.
Oof. You're very verbal with me about certain people.
Yeah, there's people like in your life that are definitely opportunist, or they're just like the friends that they want something from you constantly, or they have like something up their sleeve. We all know those people.
Right.
And you're very giving until you're not, but they haven't seen it.
I am pretty much always on this constant quest to calming and easing my nervous system. I've lived most of my life in fight or flight, and I'm in this continuation of adding or subtracting things to my toolbox that help make a massive difference. I've been taking and loving for over 6 months CB distillery oils. I take two that I've noticed a massive difference within myself. One is the sleep tincture. I really love the combination of the CBN and the CBD oil. I find that that combination really calms me into easeful sleep, but not even just like makes me feel tired to go to sleep. I stay asleep, which is the key thing in really giving yourself the rest that you need after running a mile a minute every day like we do. And then in the morning, I take the Calm and Clarity. I take a full dropper full of this. And I will say, on days that I'm feeling a little edgy, I've taken a little bit more and it really helps immediately. I think of these two products as just bringing in this harmony and balance in my system. And we all just need support. And I think it's so important for you to never stop being your own advocate. Try things on, see what works for you. I've tested so many CBD brands, and CB distillery oils really, really make a massive difference. You can get 25% off for your first order at cbdistillery.com. Promo code Melissa25, all in caps. And that's cbdistillery.com, code Melissa25.
So what do you do when you feel that? There's been a few of your friends over the years that like barely like talk to me, like they won't even look at me. Like I'm just like, who's that? Like your childhood friend, whatever, which I have a huge problem with because my number one thing is like be nice to everyone.
Always.
Like it's so much easier to be kind than not. And like I never tell you because I'm not that type of person to be like this person's a jerk or, you know, they're. But now I feel like I'd let you figure it out because you figure it out really quick. And then you call me and I'm like, that's when I tell you. You call me and you're like, this happened. I'm like, yeah, I saw that coming. This is why, right?
Yeah, it's true.
But I don't tell you at first because I'm like, she'll figure it out.
Noah and Chris and I were sitting together before this and you guys were like fully going into like roasting me. And I was like, hold on a second. Like, well, what are we doing here?
Noah and I know you better than anyone. And I think him and I are so similar in a lot of ways. And so someone asked a question. The question was something about a side of you that...
What's a side of me that really only you've seen?
Yeah.
Or like maybe people wouldn't know.
Or that, no, it said that it annoys me.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, you'd more likely be annoyed at me most of the time. But the thing that I think Noah and I said is just, and he agreed, is like you'll meet someone, you get very into them. And then like, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, either I like him into him too, or I'm not. And then a week later, I'm like, oh, how? And you're like, yeah, I don't like that person anymore. But it's, you're not fake. You're the most authentic person.
I don't know that it's a week. It takes a little bit of time.
But I think you get like very passionate about people and then you see the truth and right. You're so protective of yourself. You have to be, of your energy, of people. And you're like, oh, now I see.
Yeah.
Again, I would never tell you before. I let you see it, but I can't keep up sometimes. I'm like, wait, we're not into this person anymore.
I don't think it's necessarily like
no, it's not that
always
bad.
People.
No, it could be things.
It's things. It's things. Maybe like.
Yeah, it's things. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so into this jean brand you told me about. And then you're like, oh, we don't like that brand anymore. And I'm like, okay, now I'm not cool after a week. can't keep up. But it's not fake because you've maintained your, look at your business. You've never changed. It's the same method as it always has been.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. Everyone, it works. When I follow it, you know, I get naughty. And then I
know you just try other things and then you're like, always unhappy.
Come back. I always come back.
And I'm like, just try it, like commit to it. And then you'll see.
Mine is commitment.
You have seen changes. Though.
Absolutely. I tell everyone, like, this is actually the one thing I've done longer than anything. I believe in it.
Do you think I've changed?
Well, yes,
be honest.
And no. I mean, you're a better person. I think you are a better person. I mean, you get a lot of people coming up to you on the street. That has to change someone a little bit. I mean, if someone came up to me every time I walked down the street, I'd probably be a little, you know, but I think you've done the work. So like, I think the person was always there, but now the person is the new evolved Melissa.
Without a doubt, it does change you. I was talking to you about this, I think last night, that it's like, for me, it's like, I'm just so aware that at any time or any place, there could potentially be someone who recognizes me or is videoing or recording something I'm saying. Like, it does change how I am in the public.
Well, you know, you have to almost like look over your shoulder.
Yeah, totally.
It's hard.
Yeah, I think it just naturally does make you shift a different gear when you're out in public, which I don't think is fake. It's just a heightened self-awareness of like making sure you're really putting your best foot forward. And you know what? The truth is, you guys, like if there was a camera on me last night, I would be canceled today.
Totally.
And I think that's just something we all need to normalize.
We have to normalize.
People in the public eye is, you think this person, because they are a meditation teacher or they teach yoga, that like, that's the only version of them. And like, we all have these sides of ourselves. And like, to me, it's like these like inner demons, if you will, that are going to come out.
Yeah.
And for us to just put people on these pedestals, can we just stop doing that?
No, I
can
agree.
We not do that? Because like no one's freaking perfect. And I mean, I literally just sent you a text in the car. Can you please shut the fuck up? Because I'm trying to ground.
Yeah.
But like, that's honestly who I am at my core is like super direct.
Yeah.
I'm not being like, you and I have been friends for so many years. Like,
we can say those things.
You have to be able to have people in your life that you can say the real shit to.
Yeah.
Like,
you need more of that.
There's just so many fake, phony friendships. And I think with this era of a lot of social media relationships, which I've made a lot of friends and I've made a lot of fake friends.
Same.
Through social.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is.
I think 2024 for me is like the year of just like, I'm not unhinged, but I'm saying what I want to say. I don't want to hold back anymore. It feels fake.
It
you
is
know,
fake.
I just want to be me. And if you don't like it, you don't like it. I'm not for you. We're not for everybody.
I mean, I've noticed that with you. I've noticed it with myself too. Just like,
is it because we're getting older? Because they say like, you know,
you care less.
You care less
about what everyone thinks. And everyone has something to say about every single thing every person does.
Yeah.
And it's so draining. Like, I just think we need to, instead of inspecting everyone under this microscope, like turn the lens on yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Like, look at the way you're showing up, how you're interacting with people. I know I'm not always perfect and I'm not here to ever paint a picture that I am.
No, everyone on the internet's like so quick to judge with like one little mistake, but they have mistakes too. You're just not in the public eye, maybe. But number one for me this year is like self-awareness. It's become a pet peeve of mine. People that are not self-aware, I'm leaving them in 2023.
Do you know how to enhance your self-awareness? I'm talking to you.
I don't, but
you are a super self-aware person, but I think a way to strengthen this even more is through meditation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be one practice, but I know personally through my own experience that the heightened factors in self-awareness and even strengthening your intuition are so profound from a consistent meditation practice. Which is also why I think I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, like I just said, like if the camera was on me all day, I would legitimately be gone. They'd be like, get her off the internet. Or maybe not. Or
maybe people would like it. Maybe people want to see more raw. I think this is the year of like raw. I think we can all relate more to it. Do you really want to see someone who's like perfect all the time? It makes you feel like shit about yourself.
Yeah, no, it does.
You know, not that I don't compare, because I think comparison is the thief of joy. That's one of my favorite sayings, as you know.
It's true.
I think that it's so easy to sit on Insta and be like, I don't have her house. I don't have her Birkin. I don't have her car. I don't have... And honestly, it's not good for anyone, because that person's maybe not happy either.
Right.
So I think focus on what you have. You wake up every day with your health, your children, whatever it is. And focus on that, right?
That changes
everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm in a super anxious place, I mean, there's studies on this. Definitely bringing an expert on this topic, that social media can amplify those emotions
100%
tenfold, and just avoiding the time, the space, the scroll, like the overconsumption, it can change your whole life.
Yeah. Well, look at me when I was like dying to get engaged, and that was like my goal, like my focus. I would just constantly see people getting engaged. It's like you see it even more.
Right.
And I'm seeing it like, it's like you're putting the universe, so you're getting it. You're getting it, and you're seeing every other person getting engaged. And like every time someone got engaged, I felt like sick, where I should feel happy for them. Because, you know, I'm like a very positive person. But that's comparison. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why not me? What's wrong with me? So much of that is shift for me. Now I'm like, if you don't want to get engaged with me, I don't even want to, I don't give a shit.
Do you want to be married?
I do. I don't want more kids, but marriage is important to me. But I also see a lot of people getting divorced, and that's not, I just don't want that. So I also don't want to marry someone just to marry them. And I don't want to get married just to get married. It has to be right.
I love your boyfriend.
He's great.
He's like my favorite boyfriend.
He's great. You've ever he's dated. Never been married.
Right.
You know, so,
and he doesn't have kids or want kids.
Yeah. Which is important to me, because for a while after I was dating, and I would start dating these guys, and they would say, oh, they wanted kids. And I wouldn't lie to them, but I think I was saying that I wanted more kids to appease them, which a lot of people do that. They date someone and they don't really want to be married ever, but they think, oh, maybe I could do it. So for me, I was like, oh, maybe I could have more kids. But then the minute that relationship ended, my last one, I was like, wow, I don't want any more kids. I think I turned 40, and I was like, oh my God, I've been lying. Not really. It wasn't on purpose, but I've been lying to myself and them, because I'm actually done here. This chapter's closed. And now I know. And like, I remember when you wanted a third kid and you called me, and I was like, do not do that. You are so busy. You're going to regret it. And it's just it's a lot.
I think it was not even me necessarily knowing if I wanted a third. I think a lot of people do get in your head, and then it makes you feel like the clock is ticking.
Yeah,
and
you're like freaking out.
This is it. Like, I'm 40.
I love 40.
Love.
Girls, if you're scared about 40, don't be.
No.
40 is so fun.
Okay, we are going to hold up a photo.
Yes.
Of Chris and I in our 20s.
Yes.
We look way better now.
Way better. We're more like, confident.
It's confidence.
Our style is better. We dyed our hair
out of a box.
Blonde. It was yellow. And
yellow.
We both cut our hair up to our shoulders.
Sure. I have really thick hair. That's not it for me.
We've really had a lot of firsts together.
We lost our virginity the same night. Same house. We planned it. We're like, okay, tonight's the night, sis. We're going to get it.
And we went in like different floors of the house. And it happened.
Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad.
We already told him. He was like, oh, God.
Same night he was out of town. We're like, this is our night. And then after, we're like, did you do it? We both did it. And that was
safely.
It. Safely.
Safely.
We were safe. And we did it. And that was history.
We
pierced our belly buttons together.
We pierced our belly buttons together.
We convinced my mom.
We had pictures taken.
Olin Mills.
Together. Like,
remember
when
that?
Like, sibling photos.
Yeah, like creepy ones, like with your hand
so
up here.
So bad.
We did everything.
We need to pull everything out.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're really here to share that it just keeps getting better.
It keeps getting better. you know, I found my career at 35.
You're the most confident, by the way, with this look and this vibe is so, I cannot wait to get the whole
look. The fact that you were like, I'm jealous of your outfit.
No, I'm obsessed with your outfit.
I was like, you have to bring it if you come on this podcast, okay? When I was planning my look, I was like, I have to do like Melissa vibe. You were in my head. But my style has changed.
Can we talk about what you do? Because
I found myself.
She found herself. You guys.
At 35.
Let me just break it down a little bit because you were super timid, very insecure.
Yeah.
I feel like every time from childhood getting together, truly through adulthood, it was like, what am I going to wear? I don't like my, like, can
I was
you
so
do
hard
this?
On myself.
Always.
I'm still learning self-love.
Yeah, you are.
Because, you know, I go through phases, but
it's a forever thing to learn.
It is.
But you've come a long way from, I feel like, being this form of like a follower in a sense.
Absolutely.
And following like your partners into like their careers. And then like somehow you know more about their career than like what you loved. And I'm like, what are you doing? But like when you love someone and someone really is your friend, I think you just don't necessarily call out when
people are shady or opportunity.
If someone has a friend, like your best friend has a friend that sucks, like they have to go through the motions and figure that
out
themselves. But you have, I'm so freaking proud of you.
I know.
Tell us what you're doing.
I cold turkey, like I've never assisted anyone. I was like, I want to be a stylist. And it kind of happened by accident. And I just like went on Instagram and I had done all the back work to start my business. And I just fully was like, I'm launching a styling business. And I went for it.
And you're so busy.
So busy. I've done some cool stuff and I found myself. It's what makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I can say that. I wake up every day and I actually do what I love. Who, like most people can't say that. You can say that. But a lot can't.
I know.
And it's funny. I used to have this horrible fear of public speaking. And I remember at your wedding, you were like a few weeks before, you're like, oh yeah, you don't have to do a speech because I was a maid of honor for people that don't know. And you called me a few weeks before and you're like, you have to speak. And I was like, what? And I like almost canceled. I was like, can I get out of this? Can I not be in the wedding? Can someone step in? And you were like, no, you have to. And I was like, oh, okay. And I like blacked out like that whole speech. It was pretty much horrible. I think I remember. And because of that, now it's so interesting. I speak a lot for work. Like I do presentations on styling with groups. I'm not scared because I'm speaking about something I love. So it's real. Not that I don't love you. That sounds like I didn't love you and the speech wasn't real.
No, I know.
But
it's scary
like,
to speak. And there were 300 people there.
At least, maybe 500.
No,
and
it wasn't.
And there
many.
Were some celebrities in the crowd that I was like, I can't mess this up. You know, like there's some people here, no names mentioned.
Can we just talk about how you started the speech? Because it was epic.
Well, we showered together our whole lives. And I was like we showered together because it was like easier and it was fun. Actually, I think it's because we didn't want to be separated.
You guys,
like
you
we didn't
want to
have a minute apart.
Twin bed for like 10 years.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, you know, we showered together, like not to save water. And everyone's like, Noah's mom was like,
that's how she opened.
Yeah. So
when Jason started his best man speech, he's like,
we didn't shower together. Which
was
great.
So good.
And I still like for years, Jason was like, you guys, like, are you guys going to go shower together? I mean, we actually have a shower together as adult women. We have. We have the same parts. It doesn't matter. But yeah, so I found myself. So girls, don't give up.
No.
And when you find your passion, I really believe like that's when you start to feel
alive.
Alive.
Your confidence right now is so good. I'm so just like,
you
I'm
always
just, like,
push
yes,
me.
Yes, girl.
I know. You're a girl's girl, by the way. You're a girl's girl.
Thank you.
Really.
Tried and
true.
More
of those. You are. What you say is what you mean.
I mean, I love lifting people up. I'll be honest. There are some very, very few friendships and relationships in my life that make me feel like there's a little bit of a competition.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that I dissolve.
Yeah, I agree.
Because there is no competition.
No, not with
like,
friends.
Like we can all do things to lift each other up.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been doing
even
that
in the
for
wellness
you
space,
for years.
And even in the wellness space, you have a lot of friends in this space. And like, I have a ton of friends that are stylists. And my, you know, I live in Orlando. It's small. And there's not that many of us. And the ones that don't lift you up, I'm like, I don't have time for you. There's a coffee shop on every corner for a reason. Because I'm not for everyone. You're not for everyone. Although I do think everyone should do your workouts, but and I think I should style everyone. No, but maybe I'm not a good fit for certain people. And I talk to people, like we have an hour conversation, half an hour before they hire me.
And I think that's too long.
Guess what? Clip that. I do. And I need to charge 20 minutes, honey. And also, but it's not about, it's like, are we a good fit?
Right. It's energy.
It's because I'm not a good fit and maybe they're not a good fit for me.
It's true.
So you have to really learn that. It's like, I don't care to take money from everyone. I'm not a stylist to everyone. I need to know we work together so intimately. I need to know that we're going to work because I don't need your energy messing up my vibe.
No, no, girl, you do not.
I need all the good vibes.
That's all we want. Yeah. You have been, I've shared this before. It's so funny because I feel like when I was doing a Q&A, one girl was like, you're lying about Chrissy being your stylist. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever coined you to be my stylist.
Ever.
But you've always been that go-to resource for me for, by the way, she just did this, coming into my closet and people wanted just a few styling tips. But the last time she was over, she's like, you have so many blazers. She's like, you cannot purchase another blazer.
No, I cut the blazers
out.
You
have so many slacks. You have no tops.
Yeah, she had no
top. I had no top. So I was like, okay, give me a select. Like,
yeah, of what you need. I think a lot of, well, also, let me just back up for a second. You have amazing style. You don't need a stylist. You just sometimes need people to source, or you need maybe just like, you know, you're going on a trip, you don't have time. Like,
she finds everything for less.
Yeah, I'm all about a looks for less. I work with people on any budget, like high, low. And that's, I thrive off that because I can really, that's when you become really good. Mm-hmm. When you have someone gives you like a small budget and you're like, let me find some stuff. Let me go on the hunt. But with you, I think like I'm always tell Noah like what gifts to buy you. I'm good at that. Because I listen to you. So we've done some great things together.
Great gifts.
But, you know, with you, it's more like, let me go in and like give you like little tips like that. Because when you're in your own closet, it's overwhelming. You don't see what other people see. So I always like to tell you, like, these are the things you're missing. Let's make a list. So whenever I have a new client, I go in their closet. We make a list of what they're missing. And then we purge some things and then we start buying things they actually need. So usually I'll go in someone's closet and they have so much stuff, like they have a lot of things. And their spouse is like, they have too much stuff. They have a lot of stuff, but they don't have actual outfits. Mm-hmm. They buy pieces that don't make sense. So usually when I start working with a new client, I'm like, the number one thing, a great white tee. Everyone should have a white tee.
What's your number one brand right now? Or one you love?
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Lissette?
Yeah. Love.
Yeah,
Lissette.
Love. I don't have any. They can send me a few. Just kidding.
We love you, Lissette.
I make everyone buy them. I'm obsessed. Because I've seen them on now because I'm in everyone's closet. So I'm always exposed to brands that I don't know. And that's what I love. And then I get to learn like new brands. But I love that. A great jean and a great handbag can take you so far. And I always say, some people say, well, I can't really afford a great handbag. And then I go in their closet and they've got like 20 handbags. They could have bought one amazing handbag. So like splurging on things that are forever. A great crew neck cashmere sweater, black, gray. Those are things that'll take you really far. A nice belt. Mm-hmm. And the trends, I go for less.
Can we talk about trends for a second?
Yeah, but
ones that we'd like to dye.
Yeah.
Is that okay? This is not judgment. This is just
not
spilling
you, but
the tea
you know
with
what?
Your best friend.
A trend is not for everyone. Certain things that look good on you, you're much taller than me, that trend doesn't work for me.
Right.
Like a skinny jean does not look good on me. It enhances, I have curves, it enhances the curves. So people
see a
trend, well, they're out, but they're never going to be out fully. You know why? High boots.
Right.
What are you going to tuck in?
Right.
What are you tucking in? It's going to be bunchy. When you sit down, it doesn't work. But trends aren't for everyone. And we try to fit. Oh, the trend, it doesn't work for you. And also, I think spending less on the trends and spending more on the pieces that are going to take you far and you're going to have them for a while.
That's one thing I've been doing in the past, like handful of years. It changes everything.
Everything.
Every single, like I have such great core
pieces. Yeah.
That I think I'll have forever.
That's important. And I think we talked about this recently, you and I. Everyone looks like everyone on Instagram
it's
now.
It's so like, can everyone have their own
identity? It's like, even as a stylist, I'm bored at looking at other people because I'm like, you can take the style and twist it your own.
Right.
You can make it your own. Instead, everyone's just walking around looking like everyone. I'm like, I'm bored.
I've never been like the biggest
You've never
person
been a follower.
On. I've just never been really big on hopping on trends. Like one that I think really went too far. I'm so sorry. I'm just going to say it is the bow in the hair. Because I think, by the way, it's not even that I
Have you done the bow in the hair?
I did on one shoot.
Yeah.
That Gabrielle, an amazing stylist I worked with for the Hamptons cover shoot, she put it in my hair. It like worked so beautifully with the horse. I liked it. I don't love the look on everyone. And I think like a bow just adds sweetness to some people who aren't sweet. Is that mean? Do we have to scratch that or should we keep it and just keep everything 100? I'm sorry.
Well,
but it's true.
I did the bow trend once. I did it 2 years ago in Paris.
Ava rocked it really hard and I loved it.
Yeah, I think if it's situational,
it just
people
got
are
too
doing
heavy.
It too much.
It was too much. And it was like, it didn't feel like the people that were wearing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, be yourself.
Yeah.
Like, who cares what's hot? Like, stay with the foundation of who you are. Sure, add some little trendy things.
Well, that's why I love basics. I feel like you go in people's closets, they don't have basics. If you don't have the basic things, you don't have a wardrobe.
I know. I changed my basic game because of you.
Yeah, you need those pieces. And so that's huge. I'll go in. I see so much like floral and print. And I'm like, you're going to wear that once and be over it. Like we need some good staple pieces. Not you. You don't have florals. I mean, you have a few, but not much.
Right. It's nice to have some fun things.
Yeah,
but I think
those are fun to have, but not a whole wardrobe.
No, no, no.
And print with the bow. I mean, that's different. Print's fun. It's
wait, those were some great tips. I love it.
Yeah.
Guys, follow Chrissy. Well, you have two.
And
two. Now.
Yeah. One is, well, you know, I started my personal page. I started sharing more of my business and I felt uncomfortable because over the years, you know, I have a huge passion for travel. And over the years,
she's traveled more than anyone I've ever met besides Noah's
my
mother.
Second passion besides style. And I think that I would meet people traveling or male clients. They don't want to see the tag, buy this link. So I started a styling page separately that I feel like I can literally just share all things.
Share it. What is it?
Styled by Chrissy Godwin. So.
Okay. We're going to ask some questions from.
Let's do it.
The Q&A. People still want to know the dark side of me. I feel like you didn't go there enough. Go.
I mean, it's just.
Dark.
It's dark, but it's. I don't know. It's like.
It's okay. You can say it.
Yeah, but it's not like I'm hiding anything.
No.
I'm just, you don't see it anymore as much.
That's good.
I mean, so, you know, it's just, there was a level of, I think, the way that you grew up and like what you saw maybe, that you were angry.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a lot of reason to be.
Mm-hmm.
You saw some shit. You went through some shit. But I think that you have really straightened it out. Still there. I saw it last night.
Yeah, the waves come.
But I think you beat yourself up about it. You're not as dark as you used to be.
No, I don't think I am. And
but there's a little in there.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, you had some fights growing up. Oof, they were bad.
I mean, not that I'm proud of it, but
we were bullied. We were bullied and we were in this group called the Fab Five. And
we have to talk about that.
By the way, we didn't make up the name.
No, we didn't.
We were given by the older boys.
We were a crew.
We were a crew. We did everything together. We drove to school together.
People wanted to know if I was popular.
You were very popular. I mean, we were literally, the Fab Five was. Later, the Fab Five lived on. There were other groups that named themselves that. We did not. We were the beginning.
No, I really am not a fan of like naming groups. Like,
no,
I think it can
that was,
really
well,
create.
We're different people than
totally.
We were.
Totally. We're just being honest.
Yeah. I mean, now we would probably cringe at being in a group like that. The Fab Two. Just kidding. So we were in this group and the girls were awful to us. And like, I was so afraid because I never.
Not the girls in the Fab Five.
Yes. I was so afraid of these girls. They were actually terrifying. And so like, you didn't leave my sight. I knew I was okay when you were with me because like, and you've always been protective of me. I had a brother who was 8 years younger. So I was essentially for a while an only child. And you always had my back.
I mean, I think they were after me.
Not it felt you. Like they were after me too.
They were
because
after
I
me.
I remember
well.
I remember the ski club incident when I did a little flash. Not like me.
No, you
just
have
for
to
the
break
record,
it down.
So we were in ski club every year, and we were.
But it was like part of the school.
Yeah, but you pay. It was part
one
of the
year
school.
I could do it.
Well, I did it every year. I loved it. Yeah. And we were on the bus leaving. There was three huge buses, like a tour bus size. And I think it might have been your idea to flash the other bus. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's a good idea.
I think it was yours. You did it. I didn't.
And you didn't get caught.
That's true.
Okay. I hope these teachers are watching.
You also have waving her boobs at me, so they maybe didn't see mine.
I did a little, and
the teacher happened on the other bus saw her boobs.
Yeah. And so I had a bra on. It's not like I was full on, you know. Sounds like I was bad. I was pretty good, though. It's probably the worst thing I've ever done. I was such a good kid.
Well, we can talk about the worst thing I did.
So pretty much I got called into my mom worked at the school, so that was really bad. She was really mad at me. And I had to go to Saturday morning detention. I tried to say that when I lifted up my shirt, it was one layer and they both came up on accident. It didn't work. And so I got in trouble. And then I remember those girls were waiting for me when I got out. And you and my mom showed up and they were like going to beat me up.
But I don't think they were after you.
Well, it felt like it. I was terrified. But you always were like protecting me, which I really appreciated that because I wasn't afraid. And I mean, we obviously, like, if my daughter came home and, like, people were trying to beat her up, can you imagine now?
No.
Like, nowadays, I feel like back then, like, this stuff happened more. I mean, I'm sure it goes on still.
I mean, it does, and you see it on social media.
You see it, but that's scary. I still haven't been in a fight, thank God. But, yeah, so one of the questions was...
people wanted to know
how I felt
to bring
about
it back
Noah.
To what your first impression of Noah was.
Well, you were visiting me in Orlando. I had just had Sloan. She was not even one. So it was like 13 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense with timing?
Yeah.
And you were like, do you remember Noah? And I was like, oh yeah, the guy who dated this girl, I remembered. Like I remembered little details. And you were like, yeah. And I was doing like SEO at the time. And I had these huge two double giant screens, like monitors. And I pulled up his face and it was like this big. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is Noah. Like, I was like, go to Miami because he was trying to get you to meet him there.
Right.
I think it was like the first person you told.
100%.
And I was like, yeah. And I didn't really know him then, obviously. I only met him a few times. But I immediately loved Noah because he shows up. He's reliable. He's stable. And I remember one of the first times I went to Vegas with you guys. And you went home early. Because Noah and I will stay out all night.
Still to this day.
Till this day. And he's like, where are we going? I'm like, where are we going?
You guys, they have their own relationship.
Yeah. Like Noah's been so amazing to me as a friend. He saves me in situations like if I need to get into a restaurant or I need a res or whatever. He's just great. And we have a lot in common. We could talk for hours about stuff. So I remember you went home early and this was pre-marriage, pre the kids. And I'm like, this guy's a club owner. I'm going to find out about him tonight, what he does when she leaves. And you leave. And I never forget. I'm like on the chair, like living my best life. And I look down and Noah's playing chess on his phone.
He's BlackBerry. Still does that.
And I'm like, okay, yep, I can go home now. This guy's clean. And the number one thing I love about Noah is he shows up for your friends. He threw me the best 40th birthday party. And I'll never forget. Everyone was like, Melissa, you did good. He was like, you were like, I didn't even know this was coming out, this cake. I didn't know any of this. This was all Noah. And Jason was like, who is she? What did she do? And tone it down. And I don't think I'll ever have a birthday party like that. It was like,
honey, yes, you will.
No, like that.
50th?
I mean,
45th.
Noah, like, get ready.
It's going to get better.
I thought my 30th was the best at Lavo. And then now that, I mean, he showed up.
You are such a clubber. Oh, my.
Oh, I love it.
She loves
I think I'd
club.
Be, I mean, I don't go to them as much now, but I think I could be at them. Like, I'll definitely be at like, a music festival until I'm 85. 100%. Feeling the vibes of the music. So.
Okay. Before we move to rapid fire, I'm letting her. Unravel
some dark secrets. Are you ready to share?
You have my deepest, darkest.
Yeah, and I won't share. No one try to get that out of me. So basically, I think the first time I was very fortunate. I will say, like, I always got allowance, and I was
you
like,
had everything.
Yeah, I will say, like, I'm very grateful for that now that my parents were really. Generous with
you
that.
You were never a brat.
Never a brat. It was never like extreme. It was just like what you needed and
more.
And more, yeah. So we went to the mall that we were like total mall rats. I mean, nothing's changed. I'm still at the mall like every day, but We're at the mall and we went into this department store and we go into the fitting room together because we did everything together. I mean, the shower, the fitting room. And I don't think I liked anything. So I was like, I'm not going to buy anything. And then everyone was like kind of like in that stealing phase.
Well, everyone in our high school
was stealing.
Stealing, and they had the most amazing stuff. And I was like, I don't have the money for this. Like, let me try.
Yeah. So I think you like put on a shirt underneath. There was no sensor. And we get to walking out. And I'm not really sure if it was clear if I knew you did that or not. I'm going to say I didn't know. I don't think I knew. Because you were pretty like sly about it. And I don't think I knew. And then we walk, because I think I would have bought it for you if you told me. And so we walk out and like security comes up and they're like, what did they say? Like, I think you have something that belongs to us or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they pull us back in the store. And I'm like, what is going on? I don't have anything that belongs to you. And then they ask you and I think you're like, oh yeah, I think you like lifted up your shirt. And we got put in this room and it was terrifying. They were like mall copying us. They were
interrogating us.
And your dad and my mom show up and your dad just like started laughing.
No, he didn't. He was upset, but I was like crying because they were mean to us.
Okay. And he was mad at them.
He was mad.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
He was mad at them. And I got like,
you got, so like as if you stole.
As a lesson to all the young girls, if your friend is stealing, you will be arrested. So either buy it for them or leave your friend or get new friends.
Yes.
So I think I got like
probation.
Yeah, or something. We were like 15, so we weren't 16 yet. We might have been 14. And fast forward, I thought that was behind us. Because I actually got grounded and you didn't. So I was like in so much trouble.
My parents weren't really around.
Yeah, I was in really big trouble for that. Fast forward, and we had a very big event coming up. And we were in the mall together again. And you were like, I'm going to go shop. And I was like, I'm going to go get my nails done. And I'm getting my nails done, and I'm calling you, and I'm calling you. No answer. Finally, you call me. And you're like, we have a problem. I'm like, what kind of problem? You're like, I'm in the back of a cop car. I'm like, what? And you
literally
drove us there.
Like cuffed and stuffed.
And I go outside. I'm like, what happened? And I remember seeing you in the back of the car. I'm like, oh man, what happened now?
Sight.
And the guy told me like you were caught stealing bathing suits.
One bathing suit. It was $20.
And it like ruined our entire day because we couldn't eat. We were stuck in a police station.
It was awful.
It ruined my whole day. I was like lightheaded. It was like awful. I remember I went home after and I cried all night. It was horrible.
It was really awful. And I think that was, it's not even that I didn't learn the lesson the first time. I think for me, it was, there was so much envy around people having things.
Comparison.
Yeah.
Like, you're young.
I didn't have the money to,
yeah,
to have everything everyone had. So I was like, I remember one girl in our school, she was like the wealthiest girl, was stealing the most. And I'm like, I can do this too. Like, it was just such a twisted mindset, but
I never did it.
Say with,
I was terrified of my mother.
Pure confidence and certainty that that was the last time that ever happened, because it really just made me realize like, this is not the way.
Well, you also put me in the situation.
I'm
twice,
sorry.
Two times. Luckily, I was getting my nails done the second time, or I would have been like, I'm done here. That might have been a friendship ender. Actually, one of the questions that we didn't get to was a time in our lives that we were not there for each other. I know mine for you. Do you know?
I feel like, well, mine for you was when you had Sloan, because I just didn't really
understand
like what it took to have a child.
I was a single mom at 6 months old, and it was the most humbling, hardest time of my entire life. But you didn't have Benjamin yet. So I think if you don't know,
you really don't know.
That's why I always say you don't know what people are going through. When people are mean to you, they could have something really bad going on.
Right.
And so I think if you don't know, you don't know. Right.
Right.
So that's when I think you weren't. But it wasn't your fault.
I don't think there's ever been a time that you weren't there for me.
I did something right as a friend.
No, it's really true.
I feel good about that. Again, my situation was, it was not great. And you just didn't know. You were also here and I was in Florida.
Yeah.
But
there was definitely a time where I feel like I had prioritized things. And look, it's like you get married, you have kids. My career started to really evolve. I had new friends, and like, even it's like you meet new friends in the space, and like,
yeah,
things are kind of, yeah. But I think when like dust settles and you look around, there's usually not a lot of people standing by your side. And like, for me, it's like, I know this for a fact that not only have you been there for me every step of the way, like, you are my ultimate.
Yeah, I feel that.
Whenever I need to talk, to cry, to work through something, like, you're my speed dial, and you've always been.
But I always answer.
I also wouldn't be who I am without the support of you and your mom growing up.
Yeah.
People always ask me, how did you get through, I think, just like those really challenging, troubling times during childhood? And it was like, without a doubt, from having you and your family as like a rock in my life and like a support system that I needed to be able to see that there was a different way.
Yeah.
And I think we have to like let our people know how much we love them. And
I love that.
I love you so much. You're just my like.
I love you forever.
Everything.
I like picture us being old, living in like Italy together in our little villa, making our food and walk in the town and doing our little gossip.
I think it's really important to hold on to the real ones.
Yeah.
And
me too.
To also get really clear who the real ones are.
Yeah. And actually, that's been a big problem in my friendships because they're like, oh, Melissa first. You drop anything for her. I think people get a little jelly about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so OG.
Okay, we're going to end with one. We're not going to go full rapid fire just because.
The pressure on. I'm in the hot seat.
No, it's just a simple, but complex, but I don't know. Because this podcast is called Move With Heart.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to you to move with your heart?
I think leading with your heart first, being open, accepting love, giving love. You know, it's been a challenge for me, loving myself. But I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. That's it, girl.
That's it. Simple.
You're the freaking best.
You're the best.
Love you.
I love you.
You guys, hold on to your real ones.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. We have a special offer for our Move With Heart listeners. When you join MWH as a new member, you will receive an entire month that's 30 days for free. And this is in addition to our 7-day free trial. All you have to do is head to melissawoodhelp.com and use code MOVEWITHHEART. At MWH, we believe this practice is not just about building this body you desire. This work is about building a better, stronger relationship with yourself. And that is why we offer everything from movement, meditation, and nutrition to help you not only look, but most importantly, feel your best. Follow me on Instagram at Melissa Wood Tepperberg and MWH at Melissa Wood Health. Tune in for an all new episode next week, and I cannot wait to see you all on the mat.